When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Saskatchewan, it's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, it is the Sports Cage. Welcome on this Wednesday, May 1st, the brand new Sports Cage. Barney Shinkaruk today. Coulson's got the board. And up in Saskatoon, our man Derek Bidwell. We have a show for you today. On the heels of the CFL draft, we are going to break down what our man Luke Mullender thinks about the draft. Dave Thomas, new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, he's going to chime in later and tell us what he thinks about the pickups for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. We are hoping to get our second pick, Nick Weeb, on the phone in the next half hour to 40 minutes as he is traveling back to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, where he played for the U of S Huskies. On the hockey front, we got Eric Francis at the 4 o'clock hour to talk about the NHL. WHL, game four tonight in Moose Jaw, the Warriors and the Blades. We're going to recap what happened last night. SJHL, the Melfort Mustangs are the SJHL champions. Their all-star goalie, James Venn, will join us later in the program. We are all over it, Saskatchewan, and that's why it is the new Sports Cage. Derek Bidwell in Saskatoon. You look good up there. What, you're at a hotel. It's not the Senator. I can see. It's not the Confed Inn. Where are you?
No. Well, it's a new Sports Cage, so we have a bigger budget now. So we're not at the. Where did you say that? Not the Senator. What was the other one you said?
The Confed Inn.
The Confed Inn. Yeah. No, we're not at the Confed Inn.
Used to have a loose off sale at the Confed Inn back in the day. Anyway,
a loose one. Yeah. There was a few loose ones. There was one at the old KG, I think, too.
KG.
Yeah. Anyways, that's no longer there. I think that's a nice fancy condo now, building now. But anyway, yeah, we are here at the Holiday Inn Hotel and Suites. We're right across from Griffith Stadium, and we're going to be here for the VIP reception that will take place tonight. Everybody's going to come rolling in around 5:30 here in this room, and speeches will get started around 6. We'll be off the air by then, so we won't be interrupting them, me bellowing here in the back of the room. But a VIP reception tonight, which includes Sean Payton, of course, head coach of the Denver Broncos, and these guests, Sean included, are here for the Dogs Breakfast tomorrow, the big fundraiser for the U of S Huskies football team for their scholarship program.
There we go. All right. Right on to the Western Pizza guest hotline. Color man for the Saskatchewan Rough Rider broadcast, Luke Mullender joining us. Luke, after the draft last night, maybe poured yourself a pint and you went through it all. What's your assessment of how the Riders did?
Well, I think that when you looked at the overall draft and the way teams drafted, other than Joel DeBlanco, you didn't see a ton of guys, especially, and the reason why this is too is because a lot of guys are getting NFL looks, but you didn't see a ton of guys that are going to make immediate impact on a roster. Again, DeBlanco's probably the only one, right? So if you have one of those situations, you need to really build into your depth. And I liked the Saskatchewan Rough Rider draft because what they did, I think they got probably one of the best offensive linemen on the board, despite him going to an NFL camp before the Rough Riders see him. I think that I look at him as a little bit of a, and Rider Nation will know what I'm talking about. Keith Schuldigan was the same way. We drafted Keith Schuldigan, I think it was 2008, but we understood that he was going to go to the Chargers. And then as soon as camp opened in June, word got back that we were actually going to get Keith Schuldigan back. And I look at Kyle Hurdle as a guy because he's about 6'1", 6'2", 350. He's a smart player, though. He's a smart player. I love the film on him. Bluffs hard, plays hard. Another guy I like when you look at Rough Rider comparisons. I look at him as a little bit of a Wayne Smith type of guy. Wayne Smith had the same type of build, barrel-chested, though. But, again, I like Kyle Hurdle in the first spot they took him. I think that Nick Weave was a fantastic selection. Again, if you're going to go with a linebacker and then you understand what the Saskatchewan Rough Riders already have there on their roster, A, for linebackers, but also B, for Canadians and guys that can play linebacker. Nick Weave, a guy who got a almost, you know, just detrimental career or knee injury in the Hardy Cup last year. I mean, this guy is going to have to go through a ton of rehab. But before that injury, a lot of people will tell you that Nick Weave was going to be one of the first guys off the board. So if he gets healthy and he's able to come back, that is a steal of a pick there for Saskatchewan, potentially. So I really like that. And then when you looked at the rest of the selections, I mean, Del Duncan Busby, a guy from Bemidji State, and people are like me, they can barely pronounce it, but you might not know his name, but this is a guy that produced at a really high level. And that's what you get throughout the roster, too, is guys that were either capable of producing, or a guy like Daniel Johnson that didn't play as much but went to a big-time Purdue program in the Big Ten, and you know is going to come with a lot of coaching and capacity to take on that coaching as a potential pro. So I really like the Rough Riders' approach. I think they did well in the draft, and now we go to camp.
Yeah, Bemidji State, big hockey school. And I was reading, it's the, I think it's the first player from Bemidji, football-wise, to be drafted into the CFL. We got to go to the video. And if people haven't watched it, the Riders put out an unreal video yesterday of Coach Mace calling Nick Weave and just the excitement on both sides, not just Nick, but like Corey Mace and his excitement. Imagine having a coach like that, Luke, call you with that excitement.
Well, that's one of the things that I think Corey Mace possesses, and it's what made him a candidate to be a head coach in the first place, is he's a guy that a lot of guys will buy into. I remember having the same feeling about Coach Austin. As soon as Coach Austin walked into our first major team meeting after camp had started, the first thing he said is, if you're not here to win the Great Cup, you can leave right now. We picked the wrong guys, right? And I think that you buy into certain attitudes. And I think that when it comes to this generation of athletes, I think Coach Mace really can relate and connect with them on a more personal level, and that's what you need. So I love the videos that the Riders are putting out. They've been calling people, and you know, you have guys that are legitimately excited to be pro football players. Now they just got to put it together. But again, Corey Mace is a guy that people are going to buy into, and that's one of the first things that you've got to do as a new head coach, but as a locker room. You've all got to buy into it. It's like Nick Saban said, right? Mm-hmm. Mediocre people don't like high-achieving people, and high-achieving people don't like mediocre people. One thing that gets them all together on the same page is that they can buy into the same ideas and principles. And I think that you can buy into Coach Mace, whatever side of the spectrum you sit on.
One of the best quotes ever right there. It's Luke Mullender joining us on the Western Pizza guest hotline. Hey, Rider Nation and Sports Cage listeners, you want to chime in? You want to send us your evaluation of what the Riders did yesterday? Capital 4 Lincoln text line always there for you. 306-936-6262. Go ahead, Bids.
I was just going to ask Luke about, go back to Kyle Hurdle, their offensive lineman that they drafted with the first pick overall, or first pick for them, third overall. I looked at his picture. They kept putting up this picture yesterday in the draft. He looked mean. He looked like there was a good It was a good photo. It made him look like a mean. What's his style of play like? Is it kind of like the pitcher? I mean, they showed a few clips, of course, when he was playing at Boston College, but maybe just a bit more on the type of player that he is. Because I know for an offensive lineman, you probably want a guy that's got a bit of a mean streak in him, right? That wants to just absolutely bulldoze and roll over that guy across from him.
It's interesting. I remember breaking down Sook Chung's evaluation when we were doing a deep dive into the draft picks a long time ago. And Sook Chung, I think a few guys, the guys that are mean always stick out. They look to finish. And you see Kyle Hergel as that guy. He always looks to finish his opponent. I definitely think that he plays with a mean streak. But the other thing that you see on film is technique. And you also see a very smart player. And that's one of the things, you know, rest in peace Brian Otte from Michigan State. I he was one of our centers when I was there. He was a mean SOB. Right, but sometimes, as good as he was, his mean streak just got the best of him, and we would be penalized unnecessarily during a game because he would take it too far. And I think Kyle Hergel is a guy that plays with just the amount of right amount of nasty. Right, if he's going to be able to pancake you, he's going to do it, but he's not going to overexert himself. He's going to get the job done. He's going to do what essentially his job is from play to play. But if he's got the opportunity to pancake you, he's going to make you look bad. And those are the guys I want. I want the guys that can play with a really mean streak, but also are smart, right? Chris Best was like that. Wayne Smith was like that, right? All the best offensive linemen, man, when they wanted to bury you, they would bury you, and then they would let you know that you just got buried. But they were also very smart, cerebral guys, students of the game, and I think that Kyle Hergel has an opportunity to be one of those guys, too.
What's a realistic time frame, do you think, Luke? Like, this is a patience pick, right? What's a realistic time frame?
I think that you're looking at Kyle Hergel. You might get him this year, or you might get him in two years. And I think that both sides of that potential are good. If you get him this year, you've got a guy that is going to be like a Dakota Shepley, for instance, where he literally pushed everybody. Right, you've got a guy there that's going to push the back end guys and the front end guys to be their best. That's exactly what you want out of a first round draft pick. And if he doesn't get here in 2 years, well, guess what? That gives you enough time to find out who you've got in the room, right? And more importantly, it also gives you enough time to really get the most out of a guy like Phillip Blake, who's on the other side of his career right now, right? Father Time's undefeated. Eventually, he's going to finally strike the last blow to a couple of these guys' careers, and that's when you probably get a guy like Kyle Hergel walking into the locker room. Now you've got a guy that's been in a pro system, especially the NFL. He's got all the right foundations. And he's going to come in and help you right away. So I think the advantages are going to be there wherever the Saskatchewan Rough Riders see him. But I think that that's also the key thing. I do believe that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are going to see Kyle Hergel. I don't think we're going to see, for instance, Giovanni Manu. I don't think we're going to see Theo Benedict in the programs that they went to down in the NFL. I think that we're going to see Kyle Hergel.
So this is funny, Bidzy, and I don't even know if you know the answer to this question, because we were having a debate here at 1900 Rose Street today, and it was quite amazing how people didn't know the answer to this question. And then I asked Luke, and I'm like, if anyone's going to know, it's Luke. I asked him, how many years after you get drafted in the CFL draft, how many years does that team protect you? Do you know the answer to that, Derek?
No, I don't know the answer to that one. That's actually a very good question, because we're talking about guys that are a patience pick, though, like you said, right? Like Hergel, you know, always, you know, 1 year maybe with the New Orleans Saints, maybe 2 years before they maybe release him and move on, or maybe he sticks around. He's that good of a player, sticks around. But yeah, I've never thought about that, because there's a lot of guys where right there, people are saying that it's going to be two or three years before their NFL teams may give up on him, and then they go to a CFL team. So I don't know that one. Interesting.
Yeah, so the answer to that is forever. And you have to say it like that. You know, there's two different trains of thought. Some guys will, like the NFL, for instance, when an NFL drafts a player, they don't retain the rights to that player indefinitely, right? The onus is on is not exclusively just on the player. It's on the franchise as well. Both sides got to come to an agreement. And if they can't, team's rights players to the player expire. I think it's when the new league year begins, allowing that player to return to the draft pool. For the Canadian Football League, you're just there forever, right? You got drafted by the team, and that's the team that's going to have have your rights. It's like that necklace, right, guys? And you know what? You don't have to show up to camp, but the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are still going to own those rights if you do decide to come back. So that way, if you want to, for instance, if you didn't want to play in Saskatchewan and you decided that you wanted to play in BC, you can't just say, well, I retire, and then go call Rick Campbell, for instance, and say, I'm ready to sign here because I retired. It doesn't work like that. So there is essentially a mandated of forever when you get drafted into the Canadian Football League.
That's why I love it. It's just not yelling, and it's just not, you know, attacks. It's an educational program. And of the five people that I talked to today that are pretty savvy when it comes to football, I had no idea the answer to that. Luke, thanks so much for giving us your time today. Appreciate the insight and the passion. And again, we'll talk to you in a few days.
The final thought is, guys, just remember that the Canadian Football League draft is like none other. This is always a half-patient draft. Everybody picks from pick one all the way down to the last pick in the seventh round. The teams are developing these guys. The Canadian draft, all these guys are being looked at as developmental guys, and that's the key. Coaching matters, and now it's on the coaches.
You got it, my man. All right. Thanks, Luke.
All right, guys.
Luke Mullender on the Western
Forever.
Pizza guest pizza hotline. That's the GIF or GIF he sent me. It was a forever.
With an echo almost. Forever.
Yeah. You know, obviously there's a game. Never there's changes. Games that guys can play. Like, hey, listen, buddy, I'm not coming.
I'm not going there.
So you
I'm not
can
going there, yeah.
Either get maybe something for me. Or let's talk about a release here. Or what do you need? But
rights. But I'm not going there.
Yeah.
I had a bad experience. I had a bad experience in Edmonton. I went there one time, and guy decided he wanted to pump my eyes shut, and I still have nightmares about that. He was wearing an Oilers jersey, and I had some other type of jersey on, and I still have nightmares. So I'm not coming to Edmonton unless I'm in the visitors' locker room. So either trade my rights, or I retire, something like that.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting. I like that the Riders went in the sixth round with Deshaun Mims. Watched a few Rams games last year, and a local boy. Everyone always loves the local feel. Like we said, we're going to hopefully talk to Nick Wieben a bit here, who played up at the U of S for the Huskies. Just talking to Ariel from the Rider office, and we're trying to get a pronunciation on the correct pronunciation on his name. But I think this guy is that real diamond in the rough, stab in the dark. Because when you go down and check it out, he's 6'2", 211. He played the past season at Garden City Community College, where he suited up for seven games with the Bronkbusters. So the Garden City Community College Bronkbusters hauled in 17 receptions, 186 yards. But he started his football career, Bidzy, at Clemson in 20 and 22. He played 22 games, 8 receptions, 114 yards. So he's been at a big school, right? And again, it's not just playing and being at a big school, it's practicing against the competition and the guys you're seeing across. And that translates to any sport. I don't care if it's soccer. If you're playing in the Premier League, was that what it's called? Premiership? Premier League? Yeah. Yep. You're practicing against the best guys. If you're in the major leagues of baseball, or you know, NCAA baseball, even it's against the best guys. So
pitchers you're facing,
So that's I like this. I'm curious to see. And he's had some injury problems. He attended South Florida.
And why did he end up in Garden City though?
Well, he doesn't break down that, but I think there were some injury issues. And he just said, you know what? I've always wanted to be a Bronkbuster, so let's go try my luck with that.
No, since I was a kid, I've been saying that's where I want to play. I don't want to play Clemson. I want to play. No, there's probably something too. We'll find a little bit more about that. But you know what? Sounds like
COVID's in there too, man. Right? Like 2023. Right. There's the whole COVID, which we're seeing with a lot of guys. Right? Like Nick Wieb. If you get a chance to talk to him, he was an Oregon Duck, and it's right around the COVID time. So It was a weird couple of years.
You had another crop, because, you had another crop of people coming in. So some of the older guys that maybe they thought didn't pan out, or, you know, maybe they their chance kind of got eliminated. They kind of got bumped, essentially.
Because a lot of the older guys stuck around. Right? They got the fifth year of eligibility, or they got another year of eligibility. So maybe there's something to that as well. Okay, so you're in Saskatoon.
That Garden City Bronc Buster, though, I was just going to say, that sounds like a real good spot for that last chance you. You've seen that probably on Netflix, right? Yeah. That sounds like one of those places where, because if you've ever watched that series, if you're a football fan, watch Last Chance U. It's pretty interesting. Some of these junior colleges and these places where these guys ended up, they started like in major, major programs, ended up there for whatever reason. Maybe it was, you know, an attitude thing. Maybe it was an injury thing. Maybe it was just a numbers game. And they got a second chance. And that's a really interesting watch. But this could be one of those guys that he's just in the right environment. Who knows what'll happen with them?
It is the all-new Sports Cage. We're talking Riders. We're talking CFL draft. A quick break here on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, welcome back inside the Sports Cage a day after the CFL draft. We're talking about what the Riders did, and a lot of people excited. You can always join in on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line, 306-936-6262. All right, we're going to switch it up here a bit, because I like being fluid. Is that what the kids are talking about these days, Bidzy? And it's the feature is, where are they now for Floor Coverings International? For new floors, choose the highest rated company in the country, Floor Coverings International. The stars of flooring. Visit fclfloors.com today. Now, where are they now is a different twist today, because we are going out again on the Western Pizza guest hotline and joined by second round pick for our Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Nick Weeb. Nick Weeb, you are getting ready to go on an airplane right now back to Saski, aren't you?
I am, actually I'm heading to the dog's breakfast right now.
Right, okay, let's go through the last 24 hours for you and that video of Coach Mace giving you the call on FaceTime. That's gone viral. What's it been like for you?
It's truly, I don't have a lot of words for it. I've been speechless for the last 24 hours. Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind when you get the call from a guy like Coach Mace is the stature of the organization you're going to. The Saskatchewan Rough Riders are a first-class organization, obviously, in the CFL. They have the best fan base, they have the best facilities, and a lot of time they have the best team. And I think it's such a blessing to be a part of that, and such an amazing thing to get a call from a guy like Coach Mace and kind of be integrated in that culture.
Nick, it's Bidzy here in Saskatoon. You and I have done a lot of things on television before. This is our first radio interaction, but we've done a lot of stuff with formerly with Global Sports. And first off, I just want to say congratulations. Great that you're staying here. Is it going to be weird going to the camp? Or maybe it's going to be a good thing going into camp. And here at Griffith Stadium, looking right out the top floor here at the Holiday Inn across the street, having camp here in Saskatoon, you're going to be a rookie coming to camp. You're going to be telling some of the veterans, well, maybe not the veterans, but some of the other new guys, where to go, because you're going to know this is all going to be secondhand to you. Where you go, where's the locker room, where's the ice machine, where do you go for all this stuff? Maybe just talk about the fact of staying home. Well, it isn't home for you because your home is in Alberta, but close to home here in your home province for football, if you will, right here in Saskatchewan. When you heard you were getting drafted by the Riders, you're going to be a member of the Riders family. Just your thoughts on all that.
Yeah, I was joking with Coach Mace last night on that FaceTime call that I might get my old locker back in the locker room there for training camp. But it sounds like I'm going to be a bit of a Sask resident here. Obviously, spent the last three with the dogs, and now coming out to the Riders, and obviously such a first class organization. You want to make the most of it and be there for as long as possible. But I'm so excited to get in with a team and obviously kind of having the familiarity of being at Griffiths and kind of in the locker room that I've played the last 3 years in. There's a bit of a comfortability aspect that comes with that. Just kind of integrate myself with the team, kind of, you know, have that comfort while also being in a completely new locker room and a new group of guys. So I think it's going to be awesome to just kind of be around even the boys that I've played with the last 3 years. Obviously, they still have their runs and their lifts right out of Griffiths there while the Riders are in there. So it'll be good to have those guys around while I'm also with my new team, you know. It's just kind of a, it's a good mix of old and new, kind of in the same thing for the training camp this year.
Okay, probably the question everyone is in lighting up the text line with, how is the rehab going and everything in that respect?
Don't worry, Rider Nation, guys. I will be back this year. I'm way ahead in the rehab schedule here. I'm feeling really good. I've had a really, really good team in Saskatoon helping me out. With our strength coach and Joel Lipinski with the Huskies, and then Mitch Dahl is my physio guy. So I'm way ahead in the rehab. I'm sprinting. I'm doing all the stuff right now, guys. So it's all going really well, and I should be, barring any crazy setbacks, I should be back this year and ready to knock some heads right of green.
Oh, people are going to be excited to hear that. Real excited. Talking with Riders second round draft pick yesterday, Nick Wiebe, on the Western Pizza guest hotline. Now, when it comes to your game, and you know, when the Huskies make a run, I guess I'm from Saskatoon, so it's hard to, everybody gets behind them. We watched you play. Unbelievable player. Is there somebody that you kind of mimic their game, or you want to model your game after, Nick?
I think it's easy to kind of look around professional football and find a lot of guys you want to take pieces of. Obviously, I know that I'm my own individual linebacker at the end of the day, so I'm not going to be exactly like any guy that might be out there. You know, you have to kind of make your own mold as well. But guys like, obviously, Larry Dean, a guy who flew around on that Rider defense for so long, it's really hard to look past a guy like Micah Tights and Fred Warner in the NFL. Guys like that who get downhill and get to the ball with some bad intentions are guys that I obviously have looked at a lot for my game and play with that physical style of football that I think a Saskatchewan football player should always play with. So I think kind of bringing that grit to the game, that physicality that Saskatchewan I think can hang their hat on is a really important thing in my game. It's something I've looked at and looked for, and guys I've looked up to in professional football for a really long time.
Nick, I got a quick one for you here before we let you go. It's a two-parter. It's a twofer. It's a twofer. All right. It's a two-parter. First one is, have you heard from your old roommate with the U of S Huskies, quarterback Mason Nias for the U of S Huskies? I know you guys are roommates. He's from Regina, so he must be jacked that you're now going to be a member of the Riders. And the second part is, are you excited to be in such a football city, a football province, where, you know, it is a big deal? You're in a big market here. You're not in, you know, maybe like Toronto or some place where it's on the second page. This is front page here. Are you excited that you're under a bit more of a microscope here and where people are a little more jacked about the team?
Absolutely. I actually was on the phone with Mason's parents last night, Kathy and Perry. They obviously are still in Regina. Mace is out living with his girlfriend in Vancouver these days, but obviously his parents are still out in Regina, and they were super fired up to have me in Regina, and then kind of for me to move obviously south. I was on the phone with Mace obviously last night too. He's still a very, very close friend of mine, so we always stay in contact about these kind of things. And the first thing he said was 43 to the QC was the text that I got from him. So I was everyone's fired up from that family. I'm super excited to get down there and see them and have them at games, hopefully. And then to answer the second part, obviously I think everybody who goes to a program or a franchise like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, you play football to be in the limelight. You play football to have a fan base that cares. And having a fan base like the Rider fan base, the Riderville, the best fan base in the CFL, it's a really cool thing to be a part of, to to kind of have that and to be part of such a special football culture that is Saskatchewan. Obviously, being in Saskatoon the past 3 years, I've kind of had a little bit of an introduction with that with the Husky football team, and like you said, the way that the community of Saskatoon rallies around that Dogs team when we make a bit of a run. So I've kind of had an introduction to it, but obviously now I'm getting thrown in the fire to it with Ryderville, and I couldn't be happier to be a part of such a historic franchise and such an amazing fan base.
I gotta say, yeah, you know, big pair calls you on the phone. You always answer, right? And then Mason Nias, though, that's boys. He's getting ready to represent Canada with Kyle Siemens, right? They're going to Finland for the World Flag Football. I was actually talking to Kyle at a family gathering a couple weekends ago. Okay, you get on that airplane, you get to the Dogs breakfast, and get to Saskatoon. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of handshakes and congratulations. And I gotta say, Nick, you can just tell in your voice that you are so excited for this, and it's been a pleasure to chat with you for the first time.
I appreciate you guys having me on. This has been awesome. I'm just fired up to be part of Ryderville and get going in the green and white here.
Right on. Okay, travel safe, Nick. We'll catch up with you again. That's Riders' second round draft pick, Nick Weeb, joining us as he gets ready to fly to Saskatoon in minutes to take in the Dogs breakfast where Bidzy is. Yeah, Bidzy, you and I, we've interviewed thousands of people throughout our time. Not to be like, oh, we've interviewed a lot of people, but I'm just saying, it is.
We're just saying we're old. Yeah, we're veterans.
Old veterans. you know, you don't get a lot of excitement like that. Maybe, you know, like there's a bantam draft kid in the WHL or whatever, but you can feel it. And Rider Nation,
genuine.
I'm sure, genuine. That's the word I'm looking for, right?
Yeah. It's a genuine enthusiasm that he has in his voice. You can tell it. You can sense it. And I know Nick a little bit, as I said at the start of this, covering the U of S Huskies here in Saskatoon. And I knew that actually him and Mason were roommates. And Mason being a Regina guy, I just knew that they'd be so fired up for this whole thing. But, I mean, take that all away. If you want to be in a big market for CFL football, there is no bigger market in the country than the Riders. So why wouldn't you be jacked up? I mean, where the fans really care, where the fans get into it so much, like, yeah, you can tell he is fired up to be a part of the green and white family, and it's reciprocated from everybody right back to him. Nick is a beauty, by the way. He's a great personality, always smiling, but on the field he can turn it up and get nasty.
That's one I didn't want to take him too long because he needed to get on the plane, but that's the one thing, like, you watch. Watch him play. He is smash mouth football, angry, yep, violent, just the perfect player you want. And then you talk to him, and I almost feel like I could leave my kids with him for the night. He just seems like a great guy.
Be a great babysitter. Yeah. No, he just, with that smile on his face, though, is genuine, right? And then there's a lot of guys like that in a lot of sports. You know, this, when they strap on that uniform, they take on their extra or different or second persona. And he's like that. Otherwise, he is always smiling, easygoing guy, but on the field, straps on the chin strap, and then he wants to go right down Main Street and knock you out.
Knock you out. Good night, Jim Kite. And he's a Sasky guy now. Okay, a lot going on, Rider Nation and Sports Cage fans. You can just always text us what you think on the CFL draft and what the Riders did, and you got to get excited after hearing that Nick Weeb interview. That guy is an absolute beauty, as Bidzy said. 936-6262. Time for a break. It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. See all new Sports Cage. Barney Shinkrook, Derek Bidwell here on this Wednesday. It's May 1st. Not to state the obvious, but it's like, what happened to April? You know, it's like we are in the mixer. We're 19 days away from the Rider first preseason game. Rough Riders single tickets went on sale today, Bidzy. And you're looking at the. I'm looking at the theme night. We could really have some fun with some of these.
I was scouting through those, the, too, yeah.
Game
when
three.
When do I get to put on my plaid shirt and my cowboy hat and my cowboy belt buckle? When do I get to cowboy it up? I still got my Stampede stuff from all my years in Calgary for the Stampede. So I'm a fake cowboy, so I got to go to a rider theme night now for it.
How about a throwback night? That's game three of the season. Can you get your old Hilltops jacket on? Maybe slide Ooh. In, slide into a pace setter.
I was gonna say, I'm getting my old Marion Graham Falcons leather jacket. That thing is, that guy is like a, that's like fat guy in a little.
No, you know what? For your age, you're one of the kind of guys, you've taken pretty good care of yourself. So I bet you your high school jacket still kind of fits.
It probably does. I'm still 170 string bean. Yeah, probably still does. But that leather jacket, though, they don't make them like that anymore. That thing's about 15 pounds you put that on. Those old high school leather jackets. They went here in Saskatoon. They didn't do the Milton in the middle, just leather sleeves. Marion Graham, they did. And Eden Bowman did too. Walter Murray. Anyway, they're all leather. It's like a 15-pound jacket that you wear. You can train with it now instead of putting those weighted vests on. Just put your high school leather jacket on.
Run
God forbid
hills.
If it ever got wet, then it'd be 30 pounds.
Roman, run up that hill with this leather jacket on. You know, it was always dicey. We never did get the full leather. We went with something else. But I thought it was always dicey for guys that were walking on docks or near the breakwater in Waskasoo wearing that. Because if you ever got pushed in, and you
that would
on,
be it. How do you swim with your high school leather on? There's no way. 30 pounds. Just say goodbye. Tell my mom I love her. On the way out.
Cement boots. Back to the Rider games. I've got Prairie Pride Night on game six. That might be the night that you get into your Stampede gear and do that. Yeah, no, so everything's on sale now. You can go and pick your good seats for those games, and just tons of excitement around the province with Coach Mace, what they've done on the free agent side, and then with the draft. Shifting gears here to the Western Hockey League playoffs. Tonight in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, the Saskatoon Blades, Moose Jaw Warriors, game four. I gotta say, I am going to own it. I predicted a Blades win last night. Went to the game, boots on the ground style, watched it. Now, it's surprising. And anyone that was at this game, okay, it was the ice. I was at Ice Cube in that building Sunday. And the ice seemed bouncy. It seemed choppy. I guess both teams kind of complained about it. Word I got was they opened the doors today to cool the building down because it was just too hot. Mind you, a packed barn. I think it's like 4,500 in there, plus a few more stragglers. But the shots end up 32-32. For the longest time, Moose Jaw was out shooting the Blades bad. But Jackson Unger in net. The Undertaker, as I heard they're calling him in Moose Jaw.
Oh, I like it.
Blades open the scoring, and then the Warriors answer back. Atlee Calvert, again, just sixth goal of the playoffs. And then Rice Savvy scores. The Blades had some grade A chances in the slot, right on the ladies' tees, or the forward tees, sorry, as my son calls them, and just boom. And Unger was so good. Then he makes the save in the third period. And if anyone was at the game last night, it was one of those kind of dive back on a one-timer, no business getting it saves. And the place went nuts. They all had the white towels. Just a great atmosphere. That barn is so good when it's packed for concerts or for hockey. And the place just erupted. So he finishes the game star, no doubt about it. Anybody would have saw that. And you know what? Until probably the second half of that game, Moose Jaw, I was like, wow, Moose Jaw is just playing these guys to a T. Sidorov didn't do much. Wong, that guy works so hard. Like, so hard. But
yeah, he's got a high revving motor.
Moose Jaw's, I think what it is, and credit to Jason Riplinger and everyone that put that team together. Not taking nothing away from Saskatoon here. Saskatoon's still a really good hockey team. They can even up this series tonight going back to Sask Place or Sask Tel Center. I just think Moose Jaw, they have high hockey IQ and guys with massive, you know what I mean?
Cojones. Yeah, and being able to adapt, obviously, to your opponent is a real big thing that that teams that go far in the playoffs are able to do. Adapt slash, I guess adapt at the start, shut them down, make them come your way, if you will, and make the game go your way or your direction or to your strengths. I like how you give us that inside information, though. Like, so the ice had the ice cube effect.
Yes.
Because you were, how was Ice Cube, by the way?
So good. Like,
I bet you loved it.
This is my thing with concerts. And this is no slight on where we live. But there are a lot of times that you go to a casino show or a Centennial Auditorium show, whatever it's called up there now. A
small TCU place?
Yeah, smaller venue show. And even the bigger ones. Even the Sask Places of the Brand Center. And these guys are rolling in on a cold, you know, damp, cold, freezing, cold midweek to do a show. And they could easily mail it in. But Ice Cube brought it. And there was actually a bigger crowd than I thought there was going to be. It was a really good show. Anyway, and I think that plays into the ice effect. Okay, now, Bidzy, and Sports Cage listeners out there, if you think I'm crazy, text in.
Well, I think I know where you're going with
936-6262-306. As a society, are we not at the place where there's a few things that really bother me about society? Parking in the fire lane at superstores. I feel that should be a mandatory 1-year sentence. Doing U-turns in school zones and just not be, just when you have younger kids and you're hammering a UE and the kid, you don't know what these kids are doing. They're in and out of buses. And then
not a good place for that.
Yeah. The other thing, and I saw it a lot last night, do not go back to your seat at a sporting event when the play is on. We just can't do it anymore as a society. The warrior,
let's shut this down.
It happened a lot last night, and I know there's not a lot of ushers, right? Like at the Rider game, they have ushers, and I think we're getting there because it's just common courtesy. But last night, this is the one story. My 10-year-old, now 11-year-old daughter and I are there, and three ladies, I'd say middle age, whatever, give or take. And the one, they're guzzling. They're having a good time, you know, Tuesday night in the jaw. And the one was going to just start hoofing it to the seat. And the one lady goes, whoa, 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 the play is on. And I think there was a power play too. Like, everybody's watching. And she's like, and the one lady's like, so? And I'm like, well, no, we don't walk. Wait for a whistle, her friend says.
Courtesy, common courtesy.
And she goes,
what the?
Well, no. No one really cares. And I'm like, what do you mean no one cares? So my 11-year-old daughter looks back at me with this look of disgust, like Taylor Swift just broke up with Travis Kelce look. She's like, oh my, like, and I said, you know what? Her friend is helping her out. And then
she's later, trying to guide her
later in the game,
right direction, but she's making bad decisions.
Yeah. So at least I feel as a parent, I've done some good things because my kids know, you know, you just don't walk to your seat.
They know
when a football game's on, a hockey game's on, and soccer, whatever stadium you're at. But I feel we need to get there. And if you ever go to a bigger venue where, let's say you're down south and they don't really care too much about your feelings, you could get into trouble, you know.
Oh, I got a quick one for you on that too. But common courtesy for sure. Our fathers and most of the fathers and mothers out there, mothers and fathers, the adults in our lives have taught us better. A little common courtesy. It's like when this always bugs me. when you let people into your lane and they don't give you the little wave,
yeah.
Oh, that drives me bonkers. I sometimes honk at them and then I wave at them. Yeah. Like, where's your wave? Where's my wave? Mm-hmm. Where? And they're looking at me and like they think that I'm waving at them like I know them. I'm like, no, I want my wave. I let you in. Give me the little wave. It drives me bonkers. Common courtesy. Very, very, very small things that don't require a lot of effort that you can do to be a better society. But you talk about keeping your head on a swivel and know where you are. Try that if you go down to an Oakland Raiders. Well, it used to be the Oakland Raiders. That's where I went.
I've been to a game
Raiders,
there.
And try doing that down there. Now the Las Vegas Raiders. Try doing that. And, the guys are looking at you like, I'm going to pump your eyes shut when I see you at halftime.
Big, yeah. I have a shiv here that I whittled out of a popsicle stick. That's the kind of guys that were in Oakland. Let's continue this in a bit because I got another one to go on to this. It is the all-new Sports Cage, top of the hour, Rider Draft Talk coming up. We got Eric Francis after the break, NHL playoffs on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, it's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air for the fans of telephone users like yourselves. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. Barney Shankaruk and Derek Bidwell, Sports Cage on this Wednesday. If you miss any of it, you go back and you can listen to it in podcast form. Luke Mullender was off to start talking about his take on the Saskatchewan Rough Rider draft picks yesterday, the big CFL draft last night. Then we had second round pick, Mr. Weeb. Yeah, it's cool that you know him. And you guys kind of did a lot together, his time with the Huskies and you with Global and Saskatoon. If you didn't, if you're just tuning in, you didn't listen to this interview, you got to go back and listen to the man that the Saskatchewan Rough Riders drafted, and you can just feel his passion, his sincerity. What word did you use, Bidzy? It was a good one.
He's genuine.
Genuine.
He's genuine. His genuine enthusiasm that he has to now being a part of Rider family.
And we still got a lot more to come in the program. We have Dave Thomas in hour three. We have James Venn, goaltender from the Melfort Mustangs, who dumped the Flin Flon Bombers last night in the SJHL final. And James Venn was a brick wall, to use an overused term when it comes to goalie. He stole the first two games in Flin Flon, then they got a little bit of a scare, but then they finished him off last night. So James Venn is going to join us later. But let's talk NHL hockey now and go out on the Western Pizza guest hotline. It's always a great night for Western Pizza. Massive toppings, all the goodness. If you don't want pizza, they got souvlaki, they got ribs, they got salads, they got burgers, they got everything else at all the Western Pizzas. Eric Francis is joining us. And Eric, I don't know where you want to start. We didn't have a chance to tee anything up today, but I gotta say, what would be the vibe in Winnipeg today after the Avalanche finish off the Jets 4-1 in the series yesterday?
Well, before we get into that, I'll tell you where I want to start. Does Western Pizza sell, do they have the moose leg on there? Because you got me all excited about the moose leg in Melfort. Did they throw the moose leg at the Melfort game, do you know?
No, so they threw it back in Flin Flon. And then yesterday on the show, Maz and I talked to Commissioner Kyle McIntyre, and we got into a debate if it's like one moose leg for the year, do they keep reusing it? And then there was like, is there a moose out there with a prosthetic walking around somewhere near Flin Flon? Like, what's the... We're trying to get to the bottom of it. But yeah, no, okay. Western Pizza does not have any moose leg on the menu.
Okay, fair enough. Right, they got all sorts of other great options that we'll focus on. Okay, Winnipeg.
Yeah,
okay. What a disappointment for the fans. I mean, I think everybody could see it coming probably from game three on that it was inevitable. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm blaming this all on Hellebuck. I think by now we've all heard the stat that it's the worst four-game stretch he's ever had in terms of goals allowed in his career. But I'm not putting that on Hellebuck. Like, you go through the tape and watch all the goals scored on him. And I'm not pinning many on Hellebuck alone. I'm pinning him on the fact that, you know, Winnipeg's just not able to take it to that level that the Colorado Avalanche are. And the Avs learned to do that a couple of years ago when they won their cup. And they just know how to take it to that next level. And they also have, you know, two or three of the best, you know, arguably amongst the best players in the world on their team that can help elevate everybody else. So, you know, MacKinnon didn't steal the show. McCarr didn't necessarily steal the show, but he was phenomenal. But, you know, Nichushkin.
Rantanen,
he was just on fire.
What a tank.
So he plays on that line. He's incredible. And then Rantanen was quiet, but he's always such a huge part of that team. That's a juggernaut over there. So I don't rip into Winnipeg for saying they were terrible. They're just undermanned against a team that could easily win the cup this year.
I think I saw a stat just this afternoon while at the gym, 50 sets of 50, right, Bidzy? And it was, they were the lowest, they allowed the least amount of goals in the league this year. But then in five games, what did they let in, like 28? Like,
yeah.
Wow, that's super unfortunate. And you know what, Chevy, good Saskatchewan Blaine Lake boys got some work to do, right, to keep some of those guys around for next year and convince them that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Do you want anything on that series, Bidzy, or where do you want to go?
I was just going to mention that it seems like you talk about the two best players in the world being on Avalanche, two of the best players in the world being on the Avalanche, and it seems like every time we watch an Avalanche game and Cale Makar does something brilliant again, the stats that they throw out are just mind-boggling. He is still a young player. It seems like he's not, because we've mentioned his name so many times because he's been so good in his young career. But they're talking about Cale Makar and then Bobby Orr. Cale Makar and then, you know...
Rod Langway.
Nicholas Lidstrom or something like that. But they're talking about him and some of these major, major, major Hall of Fame, all-time great names. And Cale Makar is just... Man, is that guy... I think we're just seeing the start of what is just going to be such an amazing career. Knock on wood, he stays healthy for all of it. Of the stats that he could put up, don't you believe?
Well, what was it? When they won the cup that year, he was Conn Smythe Trophy winner. He won the Norris Trophy. And, that, you know, that was obviously his big coming out party. Since then, listen, Quinn Hughes is going to win the Norris. I mean, I think the finalists came out today. Because he just had, you know, that his incredible break. I don't even want to call it a breakthrough season, but he just had a phenomenal season. But I don't think even the people like myself who voted for Quinn Hughes to win the Norris this year, nobody could tell me that Quinn Hughes is a better defenseman than Cale Makar. Like, there's, I don't think anybody in the hockey world would even say that Quinn Hughes, he may have had a slightly better season and will win the Norris because of it. But the guy who's going to win a whole bunch of Norrises by the time it's all over is going to be Cale Makar. And you're right, Bidzy. Like, this, the stats came out last year and this year where, you know, he got to, I think, 50 playoff points faster than any defenseman in the history other than Ray Bourque. He's only one behind. Or not Ray Bourque, Bobby Orr. The standard he's already putting together is right up there with a Bobby Orr. So we're already anointing this guy a Hall of Famer, and I believe it. Like, when you skate as brilliantly as he does and are as creative as he is, I think he deserves all the accolades we're throwing at him.
Hey, Bidzy.
Hey, he's a Calgarian.
Yeah. Yeah. Bidzy.
Sorry about that.
Educational program, right? Name the last Vancouver Canuck to be nominated for the Norris.
Ooh.
Can you answer that,
Holy
Eric?
Holy Toledo's of Johnson's. Harold Snepps.
No.
Was it Harold Snepps?
Not Snepps. Not Dave Babich either.
Oh, no. Nope.
Okay. Sorry.
Francis, you got anything?
No, I don't want to put... I don't want to put Eric on the spot here.
I can't think of anybody. No, I can't think of
the answer is nobody. No one from the Vancouver Canucks has ever been...
the old trick question.
The old West Side trickaroo, eh? The old West Side trickaroo, boys.
On Wednesday, on hump day. Thanks a lot.
Toronto Maple Leafs, as Maz tweeted out last night, I think it's they're back to booking the barricades and the bleachers because the parade's back on.
Yeah, they find new ways to break the hearts of each nation. Right? It's a different script every year, but the ending's always the same, boys. And if anybody out there thinks it's going to be different this year, you must be a Leaf fan, because you get fooled every single year. Like, the, you know, I'm originally from there. I don't tell a lot of people, but so I got a lot of buddies back home, and I got a, you know, I try to block their numbers, but I can't. I don't know how to do that. But, like, the roller coaster that these poor guys go through is insane. And after, you know, they went into the playoffs this year, very little expectations. Like, a lot of them were, like, quitting before they even started. I'm like, good. They finally learned in Leaf Nation that it's just not going to be their thing. The playoffs are not their thing. And then...
Yeah, they're like, oh, they Boston. We know how this is going to work out with Boston. Okay, here we go. But right. Not anymore. Then, now they're believing, right?
Yeah, they believe. And it's sad that they believe, because they're just living in a bad dream right now. So go ahead and dream all you want, but I guarantee you, you'll be back in the same old nightmare by the end of the weekend, if not sooner. Enjoy today, because tomorrow you won't enjoy.
We all had that buddy. Maybe it was high school, maybe it was post high school, that you knew that girl was no good for him. They weren't a good thing. You saw her doing things behind his back, but he just kept going back. He just kept going. You're like, what are you doing, Matt? No, just kept going back. That's what the Leaf fans remind me of, fellas. Okay. We've been together for 3 weeks now, Eric. Long relationship. I'm pot committed on the Dallas Stars. I'm still absolutely gives me the heebie-jeebies. I have no idea why this game starts at 5:30 tonight. I guess because the Oilers game has to get going. I wish they would have pushed it a bit. But I think even though Dallas won the other night in Golden Knights, and I'm glued to the TV, the Golden Knights are there. They look explosive. I'm still not confident that the Stars are going to pull this out.
No, I mean, I still think that's a coin flip, although for what home ice is worth these days, I know the home teams have a losing record in this playoff, just like last year. But Dallas, it's a 2 out of 3, and Dallas has home ice. Like, I still like Dallas Stars. I still don't think it's a bad bet for them to win the Cup. That's where I got my money, too, and I think they're going to win this series. Yeah, I agree with you. Of course, Vegas looks good. They're the defending champs. And they added to their roster from last year. Uh-huh. Like, they added Hanifin. They added Hurdle. Like, it's insane, right? So I think that right now you got a situation where it's just great hockey, and whoever has the better goaltending is going to win. And that's why I still think Dallas is going to do it. They're changing the goaltender. They're going to go to 8-0.
I know.
Now.
That is wild.
It's wild, but I don't want to get too inside baseball, but I can tell you, I mean, he's the guy that internally they like him a whole lot more than they like Logan Thompson. And they're, you know, you use the term pot committed. They signed Aiden Hill to a contract last year. They're committed to him, but not Logan Thompson. He's going to be gone after next year. So I'm not surprised they're going to Aiden Hill. I'm not sure it's the right move, because I'm not sure he's fully healthy. So I think it'll come down to the goaltending, and that's why I got my money on Ottinger for Aiden Hill or Logan Thompson.
I was impressed with how Jamie Benn played last game. I felt that there was a little more motor in his game, and I'm really impressed with how Logan Stankoven looks in the NHL playoffs.
Yep. But the guy who I think is the talk of the series, it should be, is, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, Wyatt Johnston. I think this guy, he scored over 30 this year in his second year in the league, his first full year, and I don't think it's out of the question this guy's going to threaten 40 to 50 goals throughout his career. Like, I think he's that good, and he took over the game 3, which was crucial to keep their season basically alive, scored the overtime winner. I thought he was the best forward on the ice in game 4, and I expect incredible things from him moving forward. So that's why that team is so delicious to me. Like, the mix of old and young, Stankoven and Johnston and working together with Sagan and Ben and Pavelski and all these guys in between. And of course, Chris Tanev, you know, is beloved in these parts in Calgary. Mm-hmm. They just added him to an already incredible blue line. I'm I'm completely sold on Dallas. And if this isn't their year, they're going to be my favorite, my cup favorite for the next 2 or 3 years. I'm not giving up on them. That's for
wow.
sure.
All right. All right.
Wow. You should be working for the marketing team for the Dallas Stars. Season ticket sales with Eric Francis. And you're making me feel better about our team that Barney basically put together. Yeah. He just told me, okay, we're going with Stars, and then we're going with Predator, and then just told me to pick guys, but he picked the teams.
Eric, I bet you Eric would love to see his monthly pay stub if he worked in Dallas with the no state tax. I think we all would.
Oh, yeah.
We all would love that, fellas. I have a buddy that lives in Dallas now. He's from Lloydminster, Alberta. And he teases me all the time. Sorry, Bidzy. I didn't want to cut you. I got something non-playoff to ask him. Do you want to ask him one more playoff?
Yeah, I'll ask him one more playoff, then we'll go to it. Because this sounds like it's going to be fun. So we want to finish this.
No, it's not that fun.
It's not like moose leg fun? Because Eric loved the moose leg talk.
No, okay. He sounds like he's driving home from the golf course and he's like busy, or he's going to the driving range.
No, Calgary's got 2 feet of snow. He's not going unless he's going to Topgolf or the knockoff Topgolf that they have in Calgary.
Launchpad. It's a good one, but hey, you know where I'm heading right now? I got out of the snowstorm.
Pete's driving.
Yes, you're correct. I'm driving north to Parks, the world's largest trailer park. I'm heading there right now for game 5. My son and I turned to my son the other day. I said, listen, son, you just turned 14. If you may go.
Time to start driving illegal.
Yeah, so you take the wheel. Dad's going to grab a six-pack, and we're going to go to Edmonton.
Yeah.
And because you may not
pretend we're from Saskatchewan
before you go to university in Calgary. So we're going to the game tonight, we got some friends with us as well. It's a boys' road trip, and it's going to be great to go tonight and enjoy playoff hockey live.
Okay, what game? What game? People are wondering. Is it the AJ? No, that's already done.
Edmonton Oilers versus the LA Kings, boys. Come on.
You're going to Edmonton. You're going way north. Wow.
When I said the world's largest trailer park, what didn't you understand about Edmonton?
Well, I got it.
I clued in, but I just wanted to.
I've never heard that before about Edmonton. Sorry, guys. Jeez,
it's not bad.
Educational program.
Yeah, we're trying to teach you guys.
Ask. Go ahead, Bidzy.
I had a group of fellas
I know that I was not part of it, but they stopped on the they were taking the a bus from Calgary to Edmonton for a Riders game. So Riders were in Edmonton, and they stopped at the City of Champions sign, and they all pulled their gear down and took a whiz on that and took a picture of that. Something that the Sasky guys would do. Anyway, moving forward, though, or back, I guess, to the Oilers and the LA Kings series. If there's one thing that the Kings can do tonight, Eric, to get that victory, what is it? Besides telling Connor McDavid that the game's canceled, that Ice Cube played the night before, and the ice is all wrecked because Ice Cube came in and he wrecked the ice because too many people came in and wrecked it. The one thing, if the Kings do this, they can get the win. What's that one thing?
Well, if they can execute that horrible 1-3-1 defensive style, plug up the neutral zone and just grind everybody's will to live to a halt. It's just such a scourge on hockey. And everybody, I was chatting with Drew Doughty late in the season when the Flames were in California. I went to chat with Doughty to do a kind of a playoff preview. And he was telling me about the 1-3-1. He said, I got to be honest, I don't like it either. And when we first introduced it, I was pissed off. He says, but now I understand that it's the way we've got to play to have success. And is it good for my game? Not really. But that's what we have to do. So he's bought in. But it's terrible to watch. It grinds the game to a halt. They're hoping to win a game 1-0. And that's the beauty of what happened there, the last game when the Oilers won 1-0. The Oilers beat them at the Kings game. And I'm not sure if you played 10 games like that the Oilers would win more than half them. But that's the style of play that the Kings want. And that's what it's going to take for them to try and beat the Kings tonight. So, but I don't say this very often. Nobody in Calgary ever says these words, but I'm actually hoping the Oilers win tonight because I'm there, and it's going to be a fun night for my son and our friends and We're going to have a good time, but you're rarely going to hear someone from Southern Alberta wish good things for Northern Alberta, I can tell you that. So maybe take that clip and burn it.
Okay, last question, non-playoff related. I read this today, and then as a guy that's in the inside, I want to know if you hear this a lot. I was reading about a number of the Seattle Kraken players that met with management and said, listen, if Dave Hackstall's back, I don't want to be here. Your take on that, and do you hear that quite a bit, kind of when you're in the inside, Eric?
You know, it's funny. I have heard that, and that's a slippery slope. Listen, we just went through that in Calgary here last summer where everybody left, and a whole bunch of the players made it very clear they didn't want to play for Daryl Sutter, and consequently, Daryl Sutter got let go and paid $8 million to keep feeding his cattle. You got a situation where I don't like it when the inmates run the asylum, where every time... Mm-hmm. You know, things don't go a team's way and they rip into the coach. But it's all part of the way sports has changed, where it's all about communication. Yep. It's all about being kinder and gentler. It's all about working with the players. And, hey, these players make more than the coaches. So at the end of the day, if two or three of the big boys on a team don't like the coach, I'm sorry, but it's pretty obvious what's going to happen. And, again, I don't like it, but I get it. And even if the players didn't, you know, a couple of these players didn't come out and voice their concern over the coach, Hackstall was probably on pretty thin ice anyway, given the regression that Seattle made this year. They went from a 100-point team last year, made the playoffs, won a round, to this year not even being close to a playoff spot, like actually face-planning the final 20 games of the season. And I think that put him on thin ice, and has the... I couldn't believe Ron Francis basically said about 2 weeks ago, yeah, we're not sure on the coach right now. Like, that basically tells you right there that he's probably not going to bring him back. Then he had the meetings with the players. It's a done deal. So that was the final straw. And the players these days do get a whole lot more say in the matter than they ever did in sports history.
All right, there's our NHL insider, Eric Francis. He's on his way to the world's biggest trailer park, I guess. Again,
in the words of Eric Francis, not us.
Learned something today. Are you guys at least staying like Fantasyland Hotel? Maybe go on the roller coaster tomorrow? Or
staying in the
ice district?
In the Roman room?
The ice.
I'm open for the jungle room. Yeah. You know what? Years ago, I'll tell this story some other time. But years ago, I drove...
A lot of Saskatchewan honeymoons were spent in there.
Absolutely. Oh, no, I get it wiped down real big. Real good. But I went up there years ago to play golf with Alice Cooper. Crazy story. And he stayed in the jungle room, and he said it was the most fun he's ever had in a hotel room. I'm like, oh, my God. I don't believe it.
That's saying something. Alice Cooper, yeah, I don't know about that.
Oh, wow. All right.
That deadbeat still owes me $25 American. Anyway, I'll let it go one day.
Go hunt him down in Phoenix. All right. Thanks, Eric. Travel safe. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, pal.
Oh, Eric Francis. Maz the other day.
It wouldn't be an Eric Francis segment without a name drop.
I was
Remember last week? Last week it was Brett. Hey, yes, I was
Brad Paisley and
Nashville. Brad Paisley, me and Brett Wilson.
I was making Brad Paisley a Caesar in Brett Wilson's box after getting off his jet. No, he's good.
I'm wondering, hey, you got any Clamato? He says, no, we only got tomato juice. I'm like, Bloody Mary. Well, let's go. What the hell?
There's Tim McGraw. He must have some. He's great. But he doesn't like people posting on social media about holiday pictures. So, no, it's great. And, yeah, I think the Oilers wrap it up tonight. But I've been so wrong.
They're wounded. LA's wounded, right? If you're going to be a great team, you got to be the lion, right? You got to be the lion. You see the wounded wildebeest, and you got to finish it off. You got to finish it off. And if you're going to be there in the end to win it all, then the Oilers finish off the Kings, put them out of their misery. I think it'll happen.
Hey, you could always get in on the action here. Let us know what you think, whether it's the CFL draft, what the Riders did, NHL playoffs. If you're going to the game tonight in Moose Jaw, let us know if we're off our rocker with people should wait before. We got to ask Eric that next week.
How can anybody how can anybody dispute that? They would say, no, just walk down right in front of everybody during the game, right in front of them, make people get up. No.
If you're just tuning in, people walking in while the game is on back to their seats, not waiting for a stoppage. So we'll get into that a bit more. It's the all new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The all new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the Sports Cage. Barney Schenker, Derek Bidwell, Saskatchewan. Get in on the action. Let us know what you're thinking out there. We're getting some funny texts on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line. Not a lot about the CFL draft, although some people are really loving the Nick Weeb interview. If you missed it, you can download it on the podcast later. Riders second round draft pick Nick Weeb joined us, and you can just feel it. He's super excited. Talks about his rehab. And I love that. He's just like, don't worry, Rider Nation. So I don't want to ruin it. You got
to
go back.
I'll be ready, he said, to start knocking heads.
Get people to go back and listen to the podcast, which is the podcast numbers. They go through the roof. And something like this is going to drive people back to that. Also, Luke Mullender joined us in the first hour to talk about the Rider picks and what he thought. And then we're going to get back at that with Dave Thomas in the last hour. Dave Thomas, new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, is going to join us. He's going to be where you are, up in Saskatoon there. So you guys are going to be side by side. Okay, so Capital Ford Lincoln text line, I got to mention. Funny one here from Ellie. Lease will get knocked out. Eli, sorry. Yeah, when we were talking to Eric Francis, Bruins are just setting them up. And I like Eli's comment here because it reminds me of, like, you know, back in the day, hockey teams or whatever be like, oh, they're just trying to get another gate. They're just throwing a game so they get, especially senior hockey, and then I remember fastball.
Make it go to seven games so you can get another gate. Yeah.
That's funny. But they're going to knock them out at home, he figures, and he says, what a hapless franchise. Move them to Arizona. That's funny. Another one.
They need one now.
Yeah. They need a rink first in the proper place.
In the right place.
Patrice up in Saskatoon. He wanted us to mention, and this was a segment we were going to mention. It is Dave Strouche, former coach with the Regina Pats, former coach with the Saskatoon Blades. Played for the
Saskatoon Blade as a player.
Yeah. Played for the Saskatoon Blades in the heartbreaking Memorial Cup loss to the Swift Current Broncos. He was a part of Notre Dame and Notre Dame Hounds, and he was rebuilding that and doing a heck of a job down there, which we are in Wilcox tomorrow for. It's a Hounds thing day. Biggest fundraising day of the year for them. Their goal is $125,000. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have alumni guests join us. Jaden Schwartz, Gary Lehman, Barry Trotz, and Wendell Clark scheduled to join us. So we're going to be live there tomorrow. You can donate right now. giving.notredame.ca. We'll talk about it tomorrow, and the money goes to a really good spot. But Dave Strouche just signed and re-upped, I guess. He went in as the interim coach this year with the Red Deer Rebels late in the season. Oddly late.
Yeah, that was very bizarre. March.
Yeah, you don't see
late
that
February,
happen.
March. Yeah.
You don't see that happen a lot in hockey or any kind of sport. So they ended up knocking off the Medicine Hat Tigers in the first round. Strouche's an excellent coach. He's always kind of been handed a bag of, you know what, everywhere. Like, it's like, yeah, hey, go rebuild this. Hey, rebuild this Blades team. Rebuild this Pats team. And it's just, hard.
He gets the team right after. Well, he gets the team. I think this has happened to him twice, Barney, where he gets, everybody knows in junior hockey, if you're hosting the Memorial Cup, you're going all in because you're the host. You don't want to be embarrassed. You want to give yourself the best shot. All you got to do is win a few games and you win the whole thing. You win the Memorial Cup because as hosts, you're already there. Even whatever happens in the regular season, you're still going to be there. So you just got to be on a heater at the end of the year, and maybe it could work out for you. Well, everybody, of course, goes all in, and when they go all in, they trade, you know, to get these guys that are not going to be back because they're going to go with NHL teams. And whatever. Anyway, Dave has been unfortunate, I think, twice, once in Saskatoon for sure. Lauren Mullican was the all-in coach, and then next year he was like, okay, Dave, you take over the team. Well, here's a terrible team, you know, with no guys that we expect to do much for, and probably a couple of years, you're going to win 15, 20 games, and then he gets gassed. And I think it happened to him twice. So, yeah, Dave's unfortunately been in some tough situations,
yeah.
But he is a great hockey coach. Great guy, very well respected.
That's what, and, you know, I think it's over you. Just like, he's a great guy. We both know him personally, and Dave deserves this. He deserves a run with a good hockey team and something that he can kind of, I don't want to say put his stamp on, but where the pieces are in place to do some damage. And Sutter's no dummy in Red Deer.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, Brent Sutter knows how this works. He knows, you know, he knows what's not the coach's fault and what is the coach's fault or what can be blamed on the coach. So he's going to give Dave a fair shot. And for a couple of years and see what he has, and that's great. I think he'll end up being in Red Deer for quite a while. I got to know Brent a little bit with my time in Calgary. Brent's a fair guy.
He scares me.
It's because he never smiles. But if you can make him laugh, he's actually a pretty funny guy. If you can make him laugh. But Brent will give him a fair shot. And I could see those two getting along great because I know Dave is a good the Sutter guys, right? You know, they want real guys, genuine guys, and Strushy is. So I think he gets a fair run there.
Can you help me throw some bales tomorrow morning? Yeah, I'm there. Let me know. And that's the kind of guy.
Dave.
Yeah.
You feel like you want to put in some, let me see your hands. One of them calluses. You got some soft hands. Let's toughen them up. Come out to the farm. And we'll show you how to put in a good day's work.
Here's a Copenhagen. Okay, tonight in Moose Jaw, it's game 4. Moose Jaw Warriors, Saskatoon Blades. We touched on it a bit. Unfortunately, I like the hype, like the rink, like I said earlier a segment. It was off the hook. It was great. When Unger made that save last night, oh mama, as Bob Cole or somebody would say. But oh baby, that's what it was. But tonight,
mama, that could be yours. That could be
mama.
That yours.
That's the Seinfeld episode, I think. Anyway, so
that sounds like a Kramer thing.
They tonight they did. They were going to tailgate. Great idea at the Crush Can just down the road from the rink. And then it's poured here for
Mother Teresa didn't want it to happen.
Almost 24 hours. So unfortunately, that's canceled tonight. But it's still going to be electric. Awesome atmosphere. Sold out. If you have tickets, you're in luck. But yesterday, I want to look this up. Yesterday, guess how much tickets were on StubHub to go to the game, Bidzy. Colson, you can guess too if you want. There was two tickets to go to the Moose Jaw Warriors Saskatoon Blades on StubHub yesterday.
Okay, really quick before I give my guess, I want to kick myself in the shin and laugh at myself for saying instead of Mother Nature, I said Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, I pulled
the
Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
Is it Randy? Is it Randy that says, you know, like you mix up the saying? No use crying over water under the bridge. You know, no, yeah, just mixed it up there. I meant to say Mother Nature.
I was letting it slide.
Mother Teresa. No, people are like, what did he just say? Went right, zipped right by him. Okay, two tickets. If I'm messing up Mother Nature.
But
okay, tell me.
Yesterday you could get in $33 each tonight. A nice seat, though, section 108, 15, 16, row 10, $40 a pop. So, yeah.
That's worth it, man.
It was so entertaining.
If it's humming? If it's humming right now, yeah, for sure.
You know, the humming last night, too, in Melfort. Melfort's gotten a lot of play on this pro. We are now a provincial sports program, and we love the SJHL. Absolutely awesome. And last night, the Melfort Mustangs knocked off the Flin Flon Bombers for the SJHL championship. They're on their way to Oakville, Ontario for the national championship starting later next week. We are joined by all-star goaltender from the Melfort Mustangs, James Venn, later in hour 3. And nice. Yeah, that guy stood on his head.
Do you have a nickname for him? Because you told us that Jackson Unger, the stellar goaltender for Undertaker, the Warriors, is the Undertaker,
yeah.
And he tombstoned the Saskatoon Blades in Game 3. So is there one for Ven?
We might have to think of one. Maybe
throw
the Sports Cage listeners can text one in, 936-6262. And then the other thing, let's get back to this. Society-wise, and just tell your friends, please, if you're on board, do not walk down to your seats at a sporting event when the play is still going on.
It's too bad that we have to reinforce this, though, because if back in the day, I'm sure your parents would have been the same way, but my dad would have. I would have probably got a cuff on the back of the head if I would have attempted it.
Yeah,
you know, while the game. Hey, sport. Cut. In the back of that. Good plays going on. Get back here. Get back here.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's different now.
But yeah, like Skrudlin's on a 2-on-1 with, Federko. No, they didn't play at the same time at the old Saskatoon Arena. I would get pushed down the aisle at the Saskatoon Arena if I pulled something like that.
Oh, back in the arena, yeah. So it would have been something like, I don't know. It would have been like
Kachuk and Kotelnikov.
Something like that. I was going to say, or Wendell Clark is back breaking up a 2-on-1 because he was a defenseman back there. Yeah. And Tim Cheveldae bails him out with a big save. And then Wendell Clark sends it back the other way and unleashes a rocket with his fiberglass Canadian stick that he seemed to be able to shoot the puck 100 miles an hour within his Cooperalls.
I'm
reminiscing about how awesome the days were at the Saskatoon Arena.
Hopefully we're talking to Wendell Clark about some of that tomorrow as we are live at Wilcox, Saskatchewan. It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan Sports Cage. Maybe you are cruising to Moose Jaw tonight for the Blades and Warriors Game 4. Only two NHL games on this evening. Dallas Stars, Vegas Golden Knights, they get going at 5:30 local time. Then the Edmonton Oilers host the Los Angeles Kings, that one at 8 p.m. Off the start of the show, Luke Mullender came on, and we broke down the Riders' draft picks. And, you know, Kyle Hergel, it says he maybe could be this year, but he's got some action going on in the NHL or NFL, and he's got some Benjamins rolling in. So, you know, will we see him this year? I don't know. I think it's a 2-year play. It's a patience pick for the Riders there, definitely. But then we had a chance to talk to second rounder Nick Wiebe, who played for the University of Saskatchewan. Unfortunately, bad knee injury in the Hardy Cup final. I remember watching that game and just being like, oh, gutted for the guy. He would have been possibly, some people are saying he possibly could have been the first guy picked, would have been a definite first rounder with the knee injury. But Corey Mace and Jeremy O'Day, they did their homework. Again, not dummies. They drafted him yesterday, and we're going to go to the video from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders on Mace FaceTiming Nick Wiebe. This is just great. Go ahead.
What's happening, baby? Let's go! Hey, man. Hey, look. Hey, man. Look, you're going to be very familiar with training camp, brother. You're going to be very familiar. I love it, man. I hope you got family around, man. You guys can celebrate this and keep that green on you, man. It looks too damn good on you to change and put you in anything else.
Why leave the province, man? Like, I don't see why I would at this point.
I love it, man. Look, congratulations, obviously. You know.
Yeah, so you can watch the whole video on our Twitter.
I love the start.
Yeah.
What's happening, man?
What's happening, you can tell they're both excited, eh?
Yeah, like, it's really good. And Nick's actually probably landing right away in Saskatoon, and he's going to be at where you're at, the Dog's Breakfast pre-shaker, whatever they call it, tonight.
The VIP reception with all the VIP people.
The VIP, and I think Ryder Brass up there as well, so I don't know if you've seen any of them floating in yet.
Corey Mace. Saw him?
Yeah.
Across the street, walking up and down the field before it started pouring rain here in Saskatoon. But yeah, Ryder folks are here as well, and they'll be here shortly.
Yeah, so that's a huge event going on. Football wise, Dave Thomas is going to be joining us momentarily from up there as well. We're going to talk about the draft at the start of the 5 o'clock hour. Back to the rest of the draft picks here, and Dell Duncan Busby from Bemidji State, and we were talking to Luke and Bemidji. If you're not kind of familiar with NCAA hockey, you look at that. And it's like, how do you say this? But first ever football player from Bemidji drafted into the CFL, wide receiver. He was the third round pick. Malik Straker, Arkansas State, fourth round pick. I love the sixth rounder. And we talked about this earlier. Deshaun Mims from the University of Regina. You know,
a little bit of a project, but, you know, great. Well, why wouldn't you, you know, when you get into the later rounds, why wouldn't you take a project and take a shot on somebody that is local, right? And it deserves it for sure. But, you know, that's when you start taking those chances.
89 receptions. 1,236 yards and 8 touchdowns. So he can catch the ball. He's familiar with pretty catching the ball and getting into the end zone at the collegiate level. And then we talked about Ajo, wide receiver, 7th round pick. And I think this is, I wouldn't call it a project. This is maybe that hidden gem diamond in the rough, because he was playing, do you remember the name of the team? Bidzy, he was playing for the Garden City Community College.
Garden City. Bronco Busters. Is that right?
Bronco Busters, yeah. So Garden City.
Bronco Busters.
Garden City, Kansas. I had to look up their logo to see what they're all about. They kind of have the...
It's a guy riding a horse, isn't it? It looks like a guy's bronc riding.
It looks like it's just a G. That's all I'm seeing right now. So they play out of Garden City, Kansas. Let me look if there's any other images. But no, it looks like it's just a G for girl. Maybe they did. Or they did have at one point a guy riding a bronc. Yeah, it's in the center of the field. I don't know if somebody in this day and age got offended by that. Bronc riding offended someone. Maybe they had to change their logo because that happens a lot.
They said,
Bronc, those horses, those poor horses, how they're riding them. That's Garden City. And then the beauty part is he played, started his career in Clemson 2020, 2021. So around that whole weird COVID thing, played 22 games in at Clemson. And we talked about, you know, that's practicing against real NCAA football players. So a lot of experience there. He attended South Florida University in 2022, only played one game there. He did have some injury problems in that one. So I'm really curious on that one. I think that's the diamond in the rough, the pick maybe, and see what he can do. But Dave Thomas is going to join us after 5 o'clock to see what the new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders has to think about the CFL draft. Canada's back in action tomorrow, hockey-wise. The U18 World Championships are going on in Finland. Canada's up tomorrow against Switzerland. Probably an easy advance there. The ties to that, Saskatchewan-wise, Reese Hamilton from Whitewood, Saskatchewan's playing. Roger McQueen from Saskatoon on that team. Back to the Makar, we were talking to Eric Francis, and I wanted to mention this. I don't think that the next Olympics will be on big ice. You know, when these kids, like the 18s are on the big ice over in Europe right now. But if it is, Makar on a big sheet of ice. You ever thought about that?
No, I haven't until you just brought it up. But I did take note when Eric was talking about one of the great things that makes Cale Makar a brilliant player is his skating. All you young kids listening, make sure you put in the time skating. The game is so fast now. And skating is such a big part of it, as you know, Barney. Yeah, edgework, you hear that. You guys will say, oh, he's so great on his edges. Oh, once he gets past the blue line, he's on his edges. He's not even taking full strides. He's just on his edges. So, yeah, skating is such a big thing to the game now. The speed of it all. Cale Makar is just such a great skater to watch, and it's a big part of his game, and that's why he's one of the world's best.
And on to the second round after a win last night. So we'll get into more hockey later in the 5 o'clock hour. Eric Francis started this one. Dave Thomas coming up to talk about the CFL draft. It is time for a break on the Sports Cage and in the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
If it's happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
And we are back, Saskatchewan, the brand new Sports Cage on this Wednesday. A lot going through. We got another hour with you. If you missed anything that we have had so far, off the hop, we had Luke Mullender on breaking down the Riders. Bidwell's talking there. We are live on the radio, and he's setting things up. We're getting ready to go. I'm just recapping what we've had so far. Luke Mullender, Nick Weeb, able to join us as he was hopping on an airplane to go to the Dogs Breakfast in Saskatoon, where Dave and Derek are right now. And Nick Weeb's interview, if you didn't hear it, you got to go back on the podcast form and listen to this guy and how excited he is to be part of Rider Nation. Eric Francis, an hour two NHL segment there. There's two games tonight, Oilers and Kings, and Stars and Golden Knights go at it. And you can go back, check it all out on the podcast form. Let's go out on the, not the Western Pizza guest hotline. You guys are live at the Dogs Breakfast. This whole hour is like a real Dave Thomas feel hour, because we got Dave coming on now to talk about the CFL draft. Dave's also going to chat with Scott Flory from the U of S Huskies later in this hour. And then we also got a little around the horn with Dave talking baseball. So
you and I are done.
It's a Dave Thomas feel. Let's have Dave have the floor here. He recently purchased a house in Regina. Excited yesterday about that. And then now he's back up grinding in Saskatoon. This guy's got a motor. I'm telling you, Rider Nation, we got ourselves an absolute gem here. Because it's like every time I turn around, I feel like Dave's in Regina. And then I turn around and he's in Saskatoon. And he's working here. And he's a sidler. He's like the Seinfeld episode. It's like, oh, there's Dave. He's over there. Dave, all joking aside, it is a busy stretch for you here as you get ready for the Dogs Breakfast tonight. We got camp coming up in Saskatoon. When you go through the draft, and probably as it was going on, you were there yesterday, and then at the end of it all, how do you assess it for the Riders?
I think the best way to assess it, and I don't want to insult anyone's intelligence, because I want to provide information and you can make your own decisions. So I had an opportunity to meet with a mind that I very much respect when it comes to Canadian football. And the one thing that he pointed out to me was that if you're doing a draft, right, if you're drafting an NHL team, a playoff team, right, for your playoff pool, you want those performers to perform now. Your organization is in serious trouble if you go into a draft needing to find a starter. So the Saskatchewan Roughriders, they found themselves players that they can go ahead and they can put time and effort into developing so that they can be that next group that comes in to push the guys that are currently maybe number one on the depth chart. So you look at the depth chart, and I talked about it this morning, is that patience will need to be a virtue for Rider Nation. It definitely is going to have to be, because there's a couple of guys that have got the workouts going on south of the border in the NFL. And you mentioned Nick Weeb, he's banged up, but he is going to be dynamic when he is able to come on board with this football team. So if you're expecting somebody to immediately make an impact next season, I think the closest you're going to get is our third-round pick and our wide receiver in Dell Duncan Busby, and everyone else is going to be a work.
That's kind of like, you know, with other leagues too, right? You draft players that are going to be there and be the stars in 2 or 3 years. In the Canadian Football League, it's like that. You know, we watched the NFL draft, of course, recently, and they're talking about who's going to be the first pick and this and that. Well, these guys are coming in, and they might be the stars right away for some of these teams in the NFL. But in the CFL, it is a little bit more like that. People just got to wrap their head around it, that it's a little different than the NFL. And in the NFL, it is as well, too, with the guys in the later rounds, a little bit more project picks, as Barney talked about before. But these picks that you're speaking about in the CFL, people got to wrap their head around that these guys will be the guys in a few years, mm-hmm. just like the guys that are going to be the guys this year are the guys from 2 or 3 years ago.
Well, in any sport, right? Mm-hmm. The most successful franchises are the ones that are able to develop their players the quickest. And that's what the sense I got was last night down in the war room with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, was that they were picking the best available athletes, the players that they thought would be the best fit, and the ones that they could develop into the next stars in the Canadian Football League that are national products.
What did you think about the video that's gone viral? We played part of it here a little bit ago on Corey Mace FaceTiming Nick Weeb. I thought that was fantastic from both sides. You got to see Corey Mace in action and just the passion he has and a dude, right? He just seems like a dude. And then you got to hear the elation of Nick Weeb, which we talked to earlier on the show, and just a rock solid, genuine guy.
That's the word, genuine, right? Both sides of that. Like, could you imagine Corey Mace calling up saying, hey, do you want to go for lunch? Like, I would take that call in an instant. I don't know if it'll come anytime soon, but I'd take that call. For Nick Weeb, he has been nothing but character. He's a Calgary product. He went down to Oregon to play south of the border. He decided that he wanted to transfer back up. Now, he had all kinds of opportunities in U Sports. Out east, he could have gone to Calgary, could have gone to Edmonton. He had a couple of buddies that were playing on the Huskies, said, we're doing something special here in Saskatoon. Come on up and check it out. And Nick Weeb came in, and as valuable as he was on the field, his leadership qualities equally as valuable. So that speaks a lot to the character, just a genuine, good person.
Shane. He talked before we got him on. He talked about, you know, his dad got ill. That's why he transferred from mm-hmm. Oregon. And then Scott Flory, and then you mentioned, you know, the other guys from the team as well. And he said it was like Scott and the U of S Huskies, they recruited my family, not just me, right? Like such a smart play. And then back to the Corey Mace thing. Yeah, he asks you to go for lunch. Corey Mace asks you to move. We all hate going to help buddy move, but he's the kind of guy that if he calls and says, hey, can you move me? A third floor condo here, we got to get some stuff up and down. We're in, Bidzy, right?
Yeah, you get a lot of guys saying that one of the greatest leaders, of course, that they ever had a chance to play with. We know he's a great leader. Mark Messier, guys talk about it. They say, when I was playing with him, I've heard a lot of guys talk about their time with him, and they say, we went to some restaurant, and it was terrible. It was the food was terrible, the service was terrible, but somehow Mark got us fired up that this was going to be the best meal, and this is going to be one of the best memories we'll ever have. And we all bought in. Like, we just bought in, even though we knew it was something different. But when Mark told us, and the way Mark described it, and it got us all fired up, it turned out to be what he said. So, yes, I get that from Nick Weeb, and he's a genuine person, as we said. He's a guy that has a lot of emotion. He's going to bring that to the locker room. Quickly, though, I want to ask you, though, Dave, you mentioned you were in the war room, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, for draft day. Now, what kind of snacks did they have and what kind of food? Now, I was looking at some of the other teams yesterday on TSN. When they showed the Ottawa Redblacks, they looked like they were just some guys woke up from a nap and maybe they threw on a shirt there and they managed to get it on an Ottawa red black shirt. It didn't look very organized. BC Lions had two guys in there. I don't know. It looked like they just made him go there to because the camera was on. But Saskatchewan looked like they had it together a little bit more. It probably was more than just a chicken finger.
Oh, you know what? I don't know. I'm the rookie around here, right? But but I'd tell you, Gordy, it looked like he had him hooked up. And again, I've only met the man. He's been kind enough to spend some time with me a couple of times. But man, he had trail mix like in bowls. Like who else had trail mix? You got trail mix.
That's a sign of a good organization.
Absolutely. Right. There was cactus cut fries. Somebody was having vegetables.
Cactus
I don't know
cut.
Who was eating vegetables. Okay. See, there was wraps. There was sandwiches.
It was a sign of
trail mix, next level.
See what they say. A good organization starts at the top. Right? Mix and crinkle cuts and whatever, then yeah.
The little things, fellas, right? The way you painted things, the picture of the Ottawa, I'm picturing like somebody made a peach drink in a container and then they went into the cupboard and got like an old bag of hickory sticks. Wasn't sealed up properly. Yeah. They were stale. We've all had that happen
a ripple chip. They just had a ripple chip there. I don't even think they had a dip.
Not even a brand name either. Okay. Back on track, I want to get Bidzy and I were talking about this earlier. First off, I asked for a pronunciation. I don't know if you got it yet. Is it a Joe a Joe?
A Joe a Joe.
A Joe a Joe.
Good handle.
Great handle. Garden City Community College. This guy, Dave, and I know he's a seventh rounder. I feel diamond in the rough kind of stuff here, right? He was a Clemson guy, and I've said it a few times already today. You're practicing against top-notch defensive backs when you're at Clemson or a school like that. But, some injuries kind of force him to bump around. And then the last past season, he played with the Garden City Community College Bronc Busters. Are you feeling diamond in the rough kind of style from a Joe Joe as well?
Absolutely. I think I go back to the development piece, right? They are going to develop these draft picks, and Ajoa Joe, I think, is one of them. And he comes in with almost having a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and every organization, you don't want to admit it, but every organization needs one.
Yeah.
You need some guy that is going to hold other guys accountable and maybe go ahead and bring a little extra and added emotion. And again, it's going to be hard for a young player to come into the organization and bring that immediately, but I don't think there's anything wrong with a guy with a chip on his shoulder having something to prove, being a little ticked off that he went in the seventh round. I think that he is going to make a statement.
Looking at Bidzy here, and I think he still thinks we're talking about potato chips. But the funny thing about...
I'm just thinking.
And Colson brought this up. The Garden City Bronc Busters, they're some of their alumni. Like, it was Corey Dillon, right? Former New England Patriot, Cincinnati Bengals before that. The other one, Tyreek Hill, was a Garden City Bronc Buster. So, some really, really cool things there. Anyone else, like as far, not just riders, Dave, but anything else surprise you in the draft? I remember we talked to Darian Durant on Monday. He liked Benjamin LaBrosse for the Riders. Defensive back kind of seemed a little bit of trouble past and where he was and all that. The Calgary Stampeders took him fourth overall. Just on the draft and knowing the CIS and collegiate football, anything else surprise you yesterday?
I'm surprised maybe that there was a couple of offensive linemen, especially everybody talked about the two UBC guys, and they were good, like Theo Benedict and Giovanni Manu.
They're so good. I think people were surprised that they went, right? They thought they're going to go a little bit later because they don't think they're going to be in the CFL.
Yeah, and I was surprised that they went as early as they did because I don't know that either are going to come back anytime soon. I think if there's any guys that have legitimate shots, and even, again, I'm not wishing ill on Kyle Herbel, our number one guy, right? But I think those two guys out of UBC have better opportunities to stick south of the border than perhaps he might. That's just my own personal opinion. But there are some great linemen in Alberta that I kind of wondered a little bit about. I'm really happy that Jackson Sombach is going to get a shot, and I really think it's an intriguing opportunity that he is going to have when you look at where he went going to Calgary. So I really think that that's kind of an interesting pick, because we talked about the John Huffnagel tree, right? And everything is done with intent and purpose in Calgary, and there's a plan. So where he's going to fit in, I'm very curious. I know that Coach Mark McConkey from the U of R Rams is very, very high and on his athletes, which he should be, but he said that he's going to turn some heads. Going to turn some heads there. So I really think that that's one name of many that stick out, but one that we're a lot more familiar with.
I know you have an extremely busy night and a busy morning tomorrow, again grinding. You're good. Dave Thomas is a grinder, and then you got you're gonna catch up with Scott Flory in a bit, and we're gonna hear that on the program. So go grab a coffee or a Red Bull or whatever you do to keep hammering
gets
away.
The Johnny
Dave.
Hustler Award, I think.
Yeah.
Well, see, and it's funny. I got the Seinfeld reference you made, and usually it's the one where it's the dark. You know, when you're in the dark and you look totally terrible. That's the episode usually
the two-faced.
My radio face is more. That's right.
The two-faced date that Jerry had. The Sidler. the Sidler. That's where like he had to put the Tic Tacs in his pocket because it always pop up.
That's right.
Go have some fun, Dave, and then we'll listen to you with Scott Flory here in a bit.
Thanks, guys.
Right on. Busy. That's Dave Thomas, new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, an all-around great guy and workhorse for us. It is time for a break on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
I'm Dave Thomas, and it's time to go around the horn for Shorty Generators. Keep the power in your hands with an automatic standby generator from Shorty Generators, the standby generator experts. Well, just over 3 weeks to go before first pitch in the Western Canadian Baseball League season, and we're pleased to be joined this time around by the new head coach of the Swift Current 57s, Jason Vena. Coach, are you ready?
Yeah, we've been recruiting it hard, and we've got some big talent coming in, so we're excited. You know, one of our guys just committed to another D1, Texas A&M. So.
Now, obviously, you may be new to Swift Current. You're not new to this league. What type of athlete is going to be successful coming up and playing as part of the Western Canadian Baseball League?
Yeah, I had an opportunity with the Regina Red Sox as a player in 2009, and then we won it all in 2011 at Okotoks. That was a great experience, and there was a lot of good talent still. We were still floating between a pro-am league and a collegiate league, and then got the chance to be a pitching coach in 2018 under Mitch McDonald, who's now the GM for the Red Sox. And I'm not 4-2 the league. I love it. It's a great experience. I think it's a great chance for players to grow.
So what type of athletes or who have you been able to recruit? Obviously, it's a heck of a job trying to put a team together so that you're ready to go, like I say, in about a month from now.
We focused primarily off the get-go to going after a lot of our returners. So you'll see Kenny Jinks back, Brody Alexander. We tried to get Ethan Murdoch back. You know, he's another D1 guy. And then we've gone on and got a few more guys. A shortstop has signed D1 with Stephen F. Austin, J.J. Garcia. Really good talent there. Freddie De La Rosa has had a great year. He's a big first baseman. Both of those guys are teammates at El Paso Community College. Freddie has over 10 home runs right now. Jonathan Clough, as I mentioned before, big 6'6", 6'5" runner in the outfield. He just committed to Texas A&M. I hope I'm not spoiling too many announcements here, but you know, we're bringing in some really strong talent.
Coach Jason Vena of the Swift Current 57s, you don't have a lot of time to put these individuals together to make them a team. How do you do that in short order?
Right. You got to be strong from the get-go. Experience definitely helps in that league. Just knowing what you're stepping into. And, you know, we definitely don't treat it like summer ball. I think that's a big mistake a lot of programs might make is, hey, you know, we're just here to play. No, for us, it's always been, let's go after a title and leave as better men and a better team and a better ball player so they have more opportunities down the road, whether that's pro ball or, you know, higher levels of college baseball. So that's what we try to establish right away in the clubhouse and in our first little mini camp together in the days leading up to our first games. And you really try to create a strong bond by being directional and being intent with any type of talk and meeting we have. So that's what makes it special. And obviously in Swift, we have a great great new clubhouse and things like that that have been established through winning history, and we hope to add to that.
You talked about history and tradition down in Swift Current, and it's a very proud tradition. How do you incorporate that into what you're doing as well?
I think the community is a big part of that, you know, getting our guys out there, but also those are the expectations of the community. You know, they expect a great product on the field, and that's where it always begins with us. You know, anytime we've had success, it's been about the players, and it's been about bringing in great quality people along with being a great ball player. So, you know, the seriousness of providing and making sure everything's taken care of so that when our guys step across the white lines, they're locked in and ready to roll, ready to win.
Coach, your message to the fans in Swift Current then as we wrap things up around the horn.
You know, we obviously want to stand behind our words and make things count and make it a great product and experience for them. You know, they come out and they always support. It's a great community. The size and population is something that's special there because it's just the perfect fit. You know, we get a strong crowd, a strong following, and you don't get that unless you're winning. So that's what we want them to expect.
Coach, appreciate your time and can't wait to catch you at the park this season.
Likewise. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Jason Vena is the new head coach of the Swift Current 57s, and that's around the horn. For Shorty Generators, keep the power in your hands with an automatic standby generator from Shorty Generators, the standby generator experts.
Staying on the baseball front, Bidzy, thanks for that, Dave, by the way. Blue Jays, your mom, Hope, my mom, Dolores, massive Blue Jay fans, and your dad's name is Ray?
Ray, yes. Yeah. Talk about two great names for moms, though, eh?
Hope and Dolores.
From our era?
Yeah.
Hope and Dolores. They would be best friends in Wastasoo, hanging out, going to a movie maybe, or an ice cream in the afternoon, or something
like
Olaf.
That. Grabbing a big Olaf together. Blue Jays lose to Kansas City 6-1 today, man. The Blue Jays are they're going to try and figure out something here. They're going to lose that fan base. And the fan base, it's across the country as well, right? Right, like
it is. It's country's team. Obviously, we only got one, and man, do we get into it when they are doing well? But yeah, they're just struggling right now.
So puck drop right away in Dallas, Texas. Golden Knights, Dallas Stars tied 2-2. Eric Francis earlier, absolute bizarro World Series. Like they both win. Both games on the road. So I don't know. Again, when we talked to Eric, I watched that get, trust me, I'm pot committed. You're making fun of me about our Keniston super draft, the sports cage.
Yeah, that you picked me in on.
I did
late.
Kind of bully you into a bunch of Dallas picks. I feel awful now, obviously.
Yeah.
Then the Golden Knights are going back to Aiden Hill. Probably the right play. You know, so he's in net tonight, Golden Knights, but Golden Knights looked good in that loss, in that game 4 loss. So I don't know. And then you can't see any way that Los Angeles extends a series with Edmonton going into Edmonton tonight?
No. Well,
it's the NHL. Anything can happen, right?
I mean, exactly. One game. I mean, they could extend the series. When I said no right away, I thought you said win the series. And they're not winning the series. Extend? No. I don't know. I think this is, like I said before, I think if Edmonton's going to be that team, if this is going to be their year, like Oilers Nation is hoping that it's finally going to be their year. Connor McDavid looks like he's had a mean on for about 3, 4, 5 weeks, probably. He's got that playoff, you know, mood and that look. Although Connor McDavid doesn't really smile that often, and he's always kind of got that look, but he seems to be in that type of form and have zone. That philosophy that zone is what I'm looking for, that he's going to be that guy now, and the Oilers are going to be that team maybe. However, as I said before, they got to have that killer instinct. You got a team against the ropes, you know, deliver that last blow, knock him out. You're the lion. This is a wounded wildebeest. Put it out of its misery. You know, go for it and be done with it. And if the Oilers are going to be that team, I think they got to, you know, kind of maybe show that tonight. And I think that they probably will at home.
It was really interesting that Drew Doughty, and it seems like the Los Angeles Kings have played the Edmonton Oilers every first round for the last 12 seasons. It hasn't been that much, but they have matched up against each other a lot. It was interesting today that Drew Doughty talked about the depth of Edmonton now, and he just said, like, they have a lot of good players on that team. It's not just a two-man show anymore with Leon and McDavid. They have depth. They're a better team this year than they were last year. I'm reading his quotes. Now McDavid has guys around him that are making plays to him, not him making all the plays for everyone else. So I guess that's the biggest difference. Totally right. Like, I'm not an Oilers guy. If I sprinkle on him, I'm definitely an Oilers guy. But I think that, yeah, this year they're different. Now, if Vancouver wins or Nashville wins, I still like the Oilers matching up against both of those teams. It's the Western Conference Final again where I get worried about, and it's a grind, right? And
yeah,
they're going through that, but you got those guys on the Oil that are tugging the same way and contributing. So, and then, well, obviously,
but it's
Skinner.
Also about depth too.
Skinner,
Schenk as well too. It's also about depth and Skinner's. You know, he's in order to go all the way. We've talked about this before as well too. You when you start to get down to the final four, and of course the Stanley Cup final, you're usually talking about two good goalies, four good goalies, and two good goalies. You got to have a last line of defense there as well. Skinner's providing that, and when your goaltender is giving you that confidence too, it resonates right from the goal line all the way up through the whole team, that you know that if you have an off shift or if you have a bad play or you fan on a pass coming out of your end, that your goalie is going to probably bail you out. So you got to have a great goaltender to win it all in the end and host the Stanley Cup, and Skinner's got to be that guy, and hopefully he can build and get better and better as they go along. But yeah, the Oilers have depth, which they didn't in the past, and they can spread around the scoring. And if it is going to be, you know, a war of attrition like it is almost all the time, and people are going to get hurt and nicked and banged up like they always do, some guys maybe have to miss some games. They got depth, so you can't write them off if you just don't have Draisaitl, or obviously if you don't have Connor, that's a huge blow. But they got other people there that they can maybe hold the fort until those guys come back if they do have to miss.
So just the two NHL games tonight locally. SJHL wrapped up yesterday. If you didn't hear, the Melfort Mustangs are the SJHL champions. They knock off Flin Flon at home. The pictures, the crowd, the energy looked awesome. And we're going to catch
talk about
up.
Goaltending, right?
Yeah, we're going to catch up with James Venn, goaltender from the Melfort Mustangs that absolutely stole the show in this final series. We're going to catch up with him in about 25 minutes' time. Down the road in Moose Jaw, from where I am, you're up in Saskatoon. Blades Warriors tonight, game four. Blades need to answer back. I said last night, you know, Blades, I think, better team in the last period, later stages of the game. But Jackson Unger, the Ungertaker, in net for the Moose Jaw Warriors.
Great nickname.
Oh, did he make some saves? And the crowd was electric.
Tombstone the Saskatoon Blades in game three.
Big wrestling guy.
Should be a good one tonight again.
You and Maz would have a good wrestling show when you guys do the show together, because he's a big wrestling. I'm an old school wrestling guy. We talked about this. We're going to have a show on that. Also in the WHL tonight, though, Prince George trying to answer back. They take on Portland that game a little bit later. So see how that series goes down. We talked to John Keane yesterday, and he just said Portland is a really good hockey team, and then you get them in their barn. And how they're built, and they're even that much better. And they're doing the old 2-3-2. So there's three games in Portland, and obviously they do not want to make the 15-hour trek back
to
PG.
Yeah, because travel, they have to,
PG. So that's the WHL roundup. We'll keep you updated on that. If you're going to the game in Moose Jaw tonight, travel safe. It is sold out. We were joking earlier, there were some tickets on StubHub about $40, $44 to get into the game tonight. And they opened up the doors this morning because the ice yesterday was awful. Puck was bouncing everywhere. Both coaches complained about it. I can attribute it to the Ice Cube concert Sunday night, but I guess it was just a Warren Barn, and it was it's packed, right? So that kind of stuff happens. We're going to wrap it up in a bit here. We got Dave Thomas getting ready to talk to Scott Flory, head coach of the U of S Huskies. I know you got to get going, Bidzy, so go have fun at the dog's breakfast and the mixer tonight. And thanks for tuning in. And then when we get back, it's going to be Dave Thomas and Scott Flory. It's the all-new Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
We're pleased to be joined by the head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, Scott Flory. Coach, first and foremost, I know this is a huge week for your program with the dog's breakfast and spring camp. Have you settled in or are you just running around?
Oh, just running around. That's part of this, the whole lead up and the weekend and just everything that goes into our spring ball, culminating with the spring camp weekend with dog's breakfast and everything. It's busy, but it's great.
Well, for folks that don't know, about a couple thousand of your closest friends are going to join you for breakfast here at Prairieland Park tomorrow morning. Break bread and raise some valuable money for your student athletes. How would you explain the dog's breakfast to a new recruit? Because I know that you're very proud of it.
I don't know if you can quite put it into words, to be honest with you. I try to paint the picture of a jam-packed park, Prairieland Park, with the lights and the stage and Glenn Suter. And then having a speaker like Sean Payton be there and be a part of it, a head coach in the NFL, I think you just got to experience it. That's going to be a phenomenal morning.
How much are you going to soak in Sean Payton?
Yeah, I fortunately get to spend some time even, at the Legends. There's a Legends reception here the night before, and then tomorrow morning, just being around and just, I don't know what one-off kind of coaching questions I can ask or I'm going to have time to, but just to be in his presence and just kind of see how he operates, I think that's just going to be, that'll be a cherry on the cake enough for me.
Now, also, it is about your student athletes, though, because this is a gigantic fundraiser and an opportunity to help ease their financial burden because the price of tuition and books isn't going down.
No, that's for sure. So, yeah, absolutely. Every dollar raised here at the Dog's Breakfast goes towards scholarships for our student athletes. So, I mean, you know, we require a lot of them. It's not easy. Football's a double full-time job on top of a full-time job of being a student, a full-time student. So, this breakfast is multifaceted, but at the end of it, its core and its heart, it's to raise money for scholarships for our student athletes.
Head coach Scott Flory is our guest, and getting set up for the dog's breakfast, Sean Payton is the guest tomorrow. But you look back at the dog's breakfast over the years, you've had some incredible guests. I'm not going to make you pick a favorite, but boy, that's a pretty impressive list, huh?
It really is, and it seems to be getting bigger and better every single year, which is what we want to do, I guess, as a program. But this one is kind of special as a head coach to get a current NFL head coach, Super Bowl champion, is pretty remarkable. So I think this is going to be a fantastic morning, put it to you that way.
All right, big night for your program last night in the Canadian football draft. First and foremost, I'll kind of go through some of the picks. And starting in round number two, maybe a surprise to some. I think anyone that was fortunate enough, like myself, to see him play is not surprised at all. But Nick Weeb goes round two, number 12, to the Saskatchewan Roughriders. What can you say about the guy that came to your program and has really given his all?
Yeah, the Riders, they've got some great management guys there, and I'm not saying that lightly. They really do that. I have a ton of respect for with Jeremy O'Day and Kyle Carson and crew. But they did right, in my opinion. Nick's he's an outstanding young man, and he's a heck of a football player. He's a special, athlete. And I know culturally he'll fit right into the locker room, and he doesn't have to travel far. He knows he's gotten to know Saskatchewan here over these last 3 years. So he's a great pick, and he's going to be a great addition to that football club.
Obviously, last season didn't end the way that Nick wanted it to, having to be helped off the field at the University of Alberta. But is he intangible for Nick, maybe his leadership qualities as well?
Oh, for sure. That's a part of it. He was a leader here in our football club. I will say this about Nick, though. I mean, if it's a 10-month timeline, to get healthy, he's going to do it in six. And that's just his attitude. And that's what he's been doing all off season. So he'll be back real soon. And I know that the Rider fans will come to know his name in short order.
I know that you're very proud of the coaching staff that you've been able to assemble, many of which volunteer hundreds of hours of times. But, boy, I tell you, your defensive line coach should get a raise or something, because George Idoko, picked in the third round, becomes the latest defensive lineman from the Huskies to be selected in the Canadian Football League draft. First, tell me a little bit about George and then about the staff that get him ready to go pro.
Yeah, you know, you look at George and his evolution, he kind of fell in our lap a little bit. He was a recruit out of St. Francis in Calgary. He ended up staying in Calgary to start, and then school-wise, academically, he got into the engineering program here at the U of S, and it was a family decision. He came out here, and all of a sudden, he's part of our football team, and couldn't be more happy, more proud of him. The amount of work, he absolutely bought into the strength conditioning. He's transformed his body, and he's become an elite player in our conference and nationwide, so he deserves all the accolades. And On the defensive side, with that, I think you got to look at number one as our defense coordinator, Warren Muzyka, and then number two for him is strength and conditioning, and Joel Lipinski is getting him physically ready to play.
Round seven, John Curtis, an offensive lineman from Saskatchewan, goes to Hamilton. What's new? A Saskatchewan Husky offensive lineman gets recognized. Obviously, there's the legacy that you and others before you have established in developing offensive linemen, but tell me a little bit about John. He wasn't with the program long.
Yeah, no, John, he's still got a year of eligibility left. But we, as I tell all those guys that get drafted, go make that team. And then if not, then you can come back and finish your last year here. So John, he's a Toronto guy. He played down south in the NCAA and wanted to come back to Canada, and is a great fit for our program here. So, we've learned a ton from him. I hope he's learned from us, and he's gonna show well there in Hamilton.
Of course, this Dogs Breakfast, not only is it a great big fundraiser, it's also an opportunity to welcome new recruits to the program. And I know that recruiting is a heck of a job and a heck of a task, but when a player commits to the University of Saskatchewan, they're committing to a lot of things, of course, athletically, academically, and more. You get to introduce those recruits tomorrow, Scott Flory. Who are we going to be excited to see walk across the stage?
Well, hopefully all of them, I think. but yeah, there is some. This is one of those recruiting classes that I think that we'll take a crystal ball and look back on and could be a major, major impact on the program. Every year, there's always going to be guys that come out of the woodwork and whatnot. But there is some elite local within the province talent. You know, we got a running back out of Moose Jaw and Javen Boynton. We got a linebacker out of Regina and Jacob Goldstone. We got a defensive lineman out of Yorkton and Hayden Russell. We got a receiver out of Saskatoon or LaRange and Tyrell Moore. So there's a ton of talent here locally in and around the province. We got some great kids out of Calgary and out of Winnipeg. So we're really excited for this recruiting class.
Before we let you go, Coach Flory, want to ask quickly about the talent in Saskatchewan, because football Sask, there's the minor football programs in the big cities as well as in the rural communities who are playing six man, so on and so forth. Where do you see the strength of Saskatchewan football being right now?
You know, I think like there's always been a strong culture around the sport of football within this province, right? It matters. It means something. Every program from six man to nine man, and every small town, in every big city and every community in this province, there's a culture of strong football, and there's a commitment to coaching and to being tough and gritty and coachable and smart and all those good things. What I'm starting to see in more of a evolution maybe I'm just a benefactor of it it's always been along the line of scrimmage, but I think we're starting to see those skill positions really grow and come to the forefront, where we're seeing those receivers, those DBs, those linebackers and running backs, where it's not just on the line of scrimmage play, but us developing elite speed and elite route runners and DBs and coverage guys at those other positions as well. And that fully complements us as a football team. And that's really good to see, and it's good growth for us.
Coach Flory, appreciate the time. Enjoy the Dogs Breakfast. Well done on another amazing guest speaker in Sean Payton, and to you and the Husky Football Foundation. Job well done, and we look forward to seeing the results on the field this weekend at spring camp.
Well, thanks, Dave. And to you, congratulations on your new post. And we're going to we're sad to see you not be a part of our program, but man, I wish you all the best. I know you're going to do a phenomenal job.
Head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, Scott Flory, joining us here in the Sports Cage.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620-CKRM.
Okay, welcome back to the Sports Cage here, and we're going back out on the Western Pizza guest hotline, and we're joined by the guy, and he's probably not going to want to say it, but from all accounts, one of the guys that stole the show from the Melfort Mustangs against the Flin Flon Bombers in the SJHL Championship Series. James Venn, thanks for joining the Sports Cage here. It sounds like you're outside. You wouldn't be golfing on your first day off after the championship, would you be?
Yeah, first day off here. We're on the course, having a good time, you know, just spending the day with a couple guys. A little wet and cold out here, but still fun.
I have a Melfort track. I love it. All right, let's go through the last 24 hours for you. Back it up from winning the championship. That's, you know, that can come after. But, you know, going into game six after Flin Flon gets back into the series with two wins, what was the mindset yesterday about this time as you guys got ready for that game?
We were confident, you know, even though with Duguay out of the lineup there, one of our leading goal scorers, we were confident in our group, and we know we could get the job done. We wanted to do it in front of our fans especially. And, you know, we came out hot and was able to steal and get away with the championship.
In the series, games one and two, everybody was surprised on how that, you know, games one and two at the Whitney Forum, especially the score in the first game. You faced a lot of rubber. Anything special about those games one and two, or you just kind of went in and did your job in that hostile atmosphere?
Yeah, I don't think anyone was expecting us to be able to do that. And I did face a lot of rubber, but my guys did unreal those two games. You know, they scored a lot of goals and let me see almost every puck. So those two games are really special and a lot of fun to play in.
This playoff run's been special too, right? Like, you look at that series against Humboldt, and when I was talking to head coach Trevor Blevins, he said, and he's been around a long time in the SJHL, he said that could be the craziest series he's ever been involved in the SJHL, that Humboldt series. You're on board with that?
Yeah, I think it was pretty nuts. Every game, whoever went to the third period, I think lost. We were about a minute 45 away from being eliminated, and then somehow came out with it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Okay, so now you guys got a few days off here. You got, you know, before you prepare and you go to the national championship in Oakville, Ontario. You know, is this a good time to heal? Obviously, you don't want to disclose anything, but playoff run, the hockey you guys have been playing, guys are banged up. Is it going to be nice to maybe get a few days to heal here?
Oh, yeah, obviously. It's playoff hockey. Everyone's playing through some bumps and bruises, so it's nice to get a couple days off, get away from the sport for a little bit, you know, rest your mind, because it's been a month and a half of just go, 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 you know. Every day, every other day we're playing a game. I think it's something like we almost played just over 20 games or something in just over a month. Mm-hmm. So it's just a lot of games and your mind's always buzzing. So it's nice to get away from everything for a bit. But then obviously back at it Friday, a few practices, and then off to Oakville.
It's like back in your minor hockey days or your brick days, right, where you're playing that much hockey and you know, short amount of time. Personally, for yourself, I talked to Kyle MacIntyre yesterday. You've kind of left all your options open as far as NCAA. You haven't committed to anything yet. Is that correct?
No, not yet.
And so this playoff run and going to the national championship, you know, you got to be, you know, you got to be confident that people are their eyeballs are open here, and you're going to be getting some offers.
Oh yeah, Trevor had confidence in me from the second he gave me that phone call in late August to come back and telling me that I have full eligibility back, and you know, hopefully it'll pay off going here to internationals. And you know, at the start of the year, if you told me I'd come back and we'd win a championship, personal achievements, they can take second place, and I'd be happy with this alone. So now we can get Trevor that national championship that he's been chasing.
Right on. All right. Okay. Well, enjoy your round of golf and a couple days off here, and best of luck, man. And I think everyone in Saskatchewan's rooting for you guys.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Right on, man. Have a good one. And yeah, best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.